And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number three of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this, the 30th day of October, 2015. I want to say aloha to Jane in Hawaii and other listeners in Hawaii as well. Welcome back. I understand there were some issues there. Yeah, God bless each and everyone.
Computer situation's under control.
That's right. Back now, with us. I do have a special request, and I'm going to shout this out to our listeners here in our home state of Pennsylvania. To the listeners in our home state of Pennsylvania, do we have any listeners in Berks County? Okay, that's my question. Berks County.
Now, I don't even know about Berks.
Come on, we've been in Berks County. Anyway, folks, here's the deal. Of course, this week is election week, all right, upcoming here. Elections are just around the corner, and some of you might want to sit out the elections, especially local. Don't do that. If you're in Berks County, there's a Lester Klock, K-L-O-C-K, running for sheriff in Berks County this coming Tuesday. Now, I don't normally do this, okay? This Lester Klock is running for sheriff. He wants to rid Berks County of the corruption, and he is a man of God. And, of course, there's so many attacks being a man of God. And this is where we can make a difference at the local level, okay? And, of course, I can't vote in Berks County, but you can if you live there. Support Lester Klock. And, again, we have to change things if there's any hope for change. And you might think there's no hope, but if there is hope for change, then get out and vote in Berks County for Lester Klock. Put him in office, and he wants to rid the corruption. And you know, you've got, and this I'm going to call out again for sheriffs everywhere. If you're a Christian and you're a sheriff, you hold that position as sheriff, and you call yourself a Christian, and you've got operational in your county Planned Parenthood, charnel houses, abortion, infanticide mills, then I call upon each and every sheriff or each and every law enforcement officer to go into to shutter their Planned Parenthood offices and arrest, if you have the authority to do so, arrest those people for conspiracy to commit murder, and do it. I mean, what is stopping you? If your neighbor was getting slaughtered next door, and you, well, I mean, if you were a law enforcement officer and got a call that there's murders taking place at the house down the street, would you respond? Of course you would. Well, this is really no different. And I'm sure people might argue the fact, but I just want to say again, you know, we can make a change in Berks County. We don't endorse political candidates. No. I mean, directly, but, you know. But hey, this is something going on here. There's evil attacks going on against this guy.
People like this on a local level, especially in positions of law enforcement, this is where we must focus our attention when it comes to elections. You know, forget about the presidential elections. Our local elections are where we are able to affect the most change.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to also say hi to Joan V, listening from South Africa.
Yeah,
who reached out to us today. We got your email, and I will be responding to that. But greetings.
Yeah, exactly. And John Little is our guest. OmegaShock.com is his website. Yeah, folks, great writer, great guest for talk shows, and many thanks for you speaking out about the anger, about anger issues and such. Before we get back to the topic, which we left off at the last hour, I got a question from a listener who wants to. The listener asked this, and maybe you can answer it, and then we can go back, continue on. Before this listener writes, she says that before her mother was saved, she would go out, basically trick-or-treating, but asking for foodstuffs for Halloween, or for Thanksgiving, that is. What's the basis of that, if you know? And I think I know, but do you know by chance, or?
I really don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't. I was sort of out of that, and basically all my knowledge about things like that come from a few others, and I don't remember anyone talking about that. So I leave it up to you to answer that question.
Well, yeah. To answer that question, I believe, and there are a couple of different theories. I do believe, John, that you kind of hit it on the right on the nail on the head when you were talking about the Roman Catholic Church, you know, taking over and attempting to, good faith or bad, whatever the faith might be, to or whatever the intent might be to change it into a non-pagan, non-occult holiday or event, and that's where this stems from, at its periphery. Now, there are other factors, but we'll leave it at that, and only because to go there would really serve no purpose. But so it's kind of a you know, we are fooled at many different levels, and the lie is different at different levels. So at every level, the lie is different, and that's kind of an easy way or short way to answer that question. So, all right, we can.
Before the break, we were talking about Jeremiah and his posing a question to the Lord, and I think you said it was 9 or 10 days, and he received an answer. And I think that's where we left off. Maybe I missed part of that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And so here we are sitting with Jeremiah, and frankly, all of us have a sort of Jeremiah ministry. So all the things that Jeremiah said would happen did happen. And so Jeremiah is telling Israel, do not, by it's Yochanan ben Karea. So it wasn't Ben Zakkai, it was Ben Karea. I don't know where Zakkai came from. Anyway, so Jeremiah is telling them, basically, everything that I told you would come to pass, has come to pass. Everything has happened. So now I'm going to tell you, don't go to Egypt. Don't go trust in another people. Trust in God. Yet, at that moment in time, but at the same time when Jeremiah is saying this, he says, but I know that you will not trust in God, that you will violate what God is telling you, even though you promised me, Jeremiah speaking, that you would do what God says. And the women speak up and they say, well, we will continue to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. The men will continue to worship their gods and to do whatever, and they will continue to violate what God says and go to Egypt. And the thing is this, we're sitting and saying the same thing to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're saying, don't go to Egypt. Don't go and make compromises with Satan. Stand firm and do the right thing, whatever it is. We all have choices every day. We every time we step out the door, every time we sit in front of our computer, we have choices to make. And the choice should always be what the right thing is. So those of you that are listening today, maybe this is you're facing a challenge. Something is difficult that you must do. Whatever it is, you are faced with a difficult choice, and you don't quite know what to do. But the thing is this, I'm telling you, God is telling you. If you're reading your Bible, God is telling you. I don't have to tell you. God is telling you, you must do the right thing, whatever it is. Too many times we have chosen to compromise over the greater good over the longer term instead of doing the right thing and paying the price that we may pay for doing the right thing. Now, when Yochanan ben Karea went to and led the people of Judah and whatever was left of Israel into Egypt, he was doing what was a logically good thing because he was afraid of this huge power. Because after all, this guy, I think it was called, this guy killed
an Israelite, an Israeli, kills the representative of Babylon after the destruction of Judah. And they thought that the vengeance of Babylon would descend upon them. And Jeremiah was saying, no. God has that covered. God will take care of that. Just trust in God. And of course, Yochanan ben Karea says, no, we won't trust in God. We're going to do the logical, reasonable thing, even though God told us not to do it. And so they make the mistake, and of course, we kind of know the rest of the story, even though it's not completely recorded, but Jeremiah says that everybody is going to die except a few. So, as we deal with all these things that are standing before us and the absolute insanity, what we have to do, we just have to follow God. Whatever it is, whatever the cost, whatever the price. I mean, I want to tell, actually, you know, as I listen to the insanity coming out of the mouth of John Kerry and out of Obama, you know, do you want to save our nation? Then just do the right thing. Serve God. Don't go against God. Do the right thing, whatever it is. But of course, they won't do that. I mean, these people have given allegiance to their God. And even though I know a lot of people, they want to talk about how evil others are, and I understand that. We all were evil before we were saved. Please understand. When we are accusing other people of evil that are not saved, please understand that they are only doing what comes natural to them. They really can't help themselves. They are you might say, captive of their own dark satanic master. Before we were saved, we were also captive. I remember, even though I was saved at a very young age, I remember telling my mom that I hated God before I was saved. The memory still stays with me. And I did. We all did. Anyone who seeks to condemn the Jews for being not Christian, I mean, it's sort of insane. They're not saved. Anybody and everybody, most of the world is not saved. We do not condemn them for being not saved. So when I speak of John Kerry doing evil stuff, it's not that I am saying that John Kerry is evil. He's not a Christian. Anyone who's not a Christian is by definition evil. They can't help it. That's just the way it is. So, as much as I would love to free America from the insane path that they are on, they are following the same path as Yochanan ben Karea. They are on the path into Egypt, and they're going to be destroyed. Look at the decisions that Europe has made. We were talking about how Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden, has become the rape capital of the world. Germany is going to become a rape capital of the world. I saw a video where these two German girls were talking. In fact, one of them sounded a lot like a friend of mine. And they were watching this Muslim march through their city in Germany. And they were talking to each other. They're saying, "Wait a second, this is horrendous. We can't dress we will not be able to dress the way we're dressed. We can't act the way we normally act. They're going to change everything. These guys are going to destroy German society." And please make no mistake. You may have Muslims in your neighborhood, and they may seem fine. And I have nothing against Muslims themselves, please. I love the Arab people. I want the best for them. But Islam is destroying them. And I would love to free them from this terrible, terrible affliction. And the problem is this. Under Islam, every young man knows, if they are reading the Quran and the Hadith, every young man knows that a non-Muslim woman is fresh meat. Men, your daughters are fresh meat to the young Muslim men that are flooding into Europe and into North America. And it doesn't give me any pleasure to say this. It really does not. These men are captive of the rage and the anger and the lust that they are taught under the Quran and the Hadith. They can't help it. So, the thing is this.
And they're going to be further suffering from a bad case of, a fatal case of lead poisoning if that came to my family.
It's really the only way to deal with it. I mean, it's I know that the problem is when you look at Israel, Israel's sort of the canary in the coal mine. I remember before in 1992 when I went to Israel for the first time. Well, it wasn't the first time I actually visited Israel, but it was the first time I actually came, sat down, and lived there. And before I went to Israel, I remember thinking that Israel just really needs to treat the Arabs better. I mean, they're just too rough. They just need to be easier, nicer, better to the Palestinians, to the Arabs, to whatever. And I remember once I got into Israel and I really sat down and looked at what was happening. Because I sat right on the border between Israel. The first year I was there, first year and a half I was there, I was right there at the border between, I guess, the Palestinians and the Israelis, and looking at what I had to do to stay safe, what Israelis had to do to stay safe, all the things that went on, and I realized to myself, wait a second. The Israelis are doing far more than I consider to be reasonable. They are unreasonably reasonable. I've never seen a group of people bend over backwards to be accommodating to the Muslims. I was shocked. The Israelis are doing so much. In fact, they're doing too much. And it's hurting them. They're trying to be a good and just and kind and compassionate people in the midst of a war. And I'm sorry, when you're in the midst of a war, you really can't be too good, kind, and compassionate to your enemy that's trying to kill you. But the point is this. We're going to be forced to be Israeli. And the more and more we avoid becoming Israeli, the worse it's going to get. And and as part of the tragedy, what was the quote comes to my mind is what the female prime minister of Israel in 1973,
Golda Meir.
Sorry. Okay, it was a senior moment. Golda Meir goes to Sadat. This was at the truce signing between Israel and Egypt after the 73 war. And she goes and she says to Sadat, she says, "We can forgive you for killing our children, but we cannot forgive you for forcing us to kill your children." And that's an interesting reflection upon this of the psyche of the Israeli. They do not want to kill anyone. They don't want to kill their own people. They don't even. The death penalty is. I think you have to be. You have to kill like a million people to get, executed in Israel. It just doesn't happen. So, here we have a society that is seeking for peace and forced to go to war. Well, we're all going to be forced to go to war in our societies, but the problem is we've let the barbarians in the gate, and so now it's going to be a neighborhood by neighborhood conflict.
Yep.
And so it's just it's
you know, this is going to be this is already happening here in this country, and I truly believe, John, that looking at this and researching this is an orchestrated way. And I had a DHS insider tell me, look, you know, Civil War, revolution, whatever you want to call it, it's coming here. And this is, I suppose, a Cloward-Piven method of exploiting, well, exploiting the system. And you know, we have, John, it's not just Obama. You've got a eunuch. We've had a eunuch, an effeminate eunuch for a Speaker of the House, and an ineffectual House and Senate. Tea Party aside, I mean, there is really no Tea Party, whatever. But I guess all of this is orchestrated. It's all set up. I mean, we are being forced into that position, like you spoke of in about Israel. We are being forced into that very position, and that's a very insightful comparison, analogy, whatever that you're using. And you're right. I mean, we're being forced into the same position as Israel has been.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the thing is this. When I left Israel, it was 2006, and Israel was still suffering a tremendous amount of terrorism, and the security operations were really intense. In fact, I had a few guns pointed at me because they thought I might have been a terrorist. It was a rainy night, you know. It was kind of interesting. I don't know. I was suspicious. I remember leaving under this cloud of conflict. And I came back to Israel 4 years later, dragging my beautiful wife into something that I wasn't completely certain I was going to be getting into. I mean, it was safe, but it was just a tense situation. At least I was expecting it. And I come back to a country that, at least the city where I was used to living, Jerusalem, transformed. It was a country that was no, it was a city that was no longer under the same level of stress. It was a city that was much more at peace, and the only difference was that wall. I mean, I had a bus in 2002. It was 2001, 2002. Blow up down the street from me. Bodies hanging out the window of this bus. It was horrendous. It set off the building of this wall. Israel did not want to build this wall. Please understand. When you hear all these things about the wall and everything, I remember the conversations that Israelis had. They did not want to build this wall. Please get this and fire across your forehead if you have to. Okay? Israelis did not want to build this wall. When it was first proposed, early in the Second Intifada, I mean, this was, in fact, even before then, The outcry against this idea was just throughout Israel. They did not want to build this wall.
Right.
But they were forced to. And because the wall was built, there actually is a greater hope for peace because there was less terrorism. I mean, if you want there to be peace in the Middle East, you've got to have that wall. Otherwise, there's going to be terrorism flowing across that border. And you don't want that. I mean, if you want peace, you've got to stop the terrorism. So what's going to happen is we're going to have to be building our own walls in our own communities, but of course it's going to be impossible. We can't do that anymore. We're going to have the terrorism within us. And that's going to be bad. So
you're precisely right. We're being, you know, we as a society, an American society, if we're listening to this inside the United States, we are being forced into really an untenable position. And as you were talking about the Muslims and Israel and the wall, I just find it interesting. Joe just alerted me to something. The Southern Poverty Law Center. Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay. Southern Poverty Law Center released a document on the 27th of October called Margins to the Mainstream. Conspiracy theories originating on the extreme right have invaded America political life, and that's not good for our democracy. They list 10 talking points that they say are false, you know, conspiracy theories made up to by alternative media sites, and they range from Common Core being a plot against our children to gun confiscation, FEMA camps, military exercises for martial law, the Muslim training camps in America.
Yeah, stop right there.
Agenda 21 is another one.
Stop right there. Apparently, my investigation into...
So you're not credited for it, but they cite your research and your footage. And
reports. Southern Poverty Law Center can, you know, I'm sure they can email me, but yeah. You know, John, we had done an investigation back in 2005 and 6 and 7 and again in 10 and 11 and then again in the last couple of years about the Islamic terrorist training camps inside the United States. And, you know, of course, the Southern Poverty Law Center says, oh, they don't exist. Well, we've got pictures. We've got pictures of buses that have been used, elementary school buses used as target practice, bullet holes in through the windshields, through the windows, that is, and explosions and such, and neighbors saying they're terrified. But this is what we've come to in this country. And, of course, you've got these communist organizations like the SP, Southern Poverty Law Center, who just are agents of the communist New World Order, globalist, Marxist, progressives, and you know what?
And they like the work they do.
Yeah, which is, and I'm damn worse. Sick and tired of this. So the other thing, too, while I'm at it, John, and thank you for giving me some time here to mess with your time a little bit, but also, just I was just sent this by Louise when we were talking. You know, there's a good chance, John, that this broadcast, tonight's broadcast, might not appear on YouTube. You know why? Because recent changes at YouTube now allow their technocratic management to remove not just monetization, which they've already done from us, which is fine, okay? You know, hey, rip it out.
Controversial.
But yeah, listen to this, okay? If we expose human rights violations, if we expose democide, if we expose any government or corporate abuses, if we expose atrocities like organ harvesting and abortion, infanticide, sodomy, if we expose how governments have historically used gun control to make the population compliant and defenseless, or how our children have been used and killed in medical experiments, we talk about vaccines, we talk about Israel, status of them being victims of terrorism. YouTube will censor this, and we can't do a damn thing about it. You see, if it ain't cool with Washington, D.C., it ain't cool with Google and YouTube. And far be it from us to be able to tell the truth, the freaking truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because they don't want it out there.
Even internet service providers like GoDaddy, the day before I got married in 2012, June 23rd, 2012, GoDaddy sent a notice saying, what was it, the notice about? It was the
GoDaddy, on the day before he was married, John, and I'm sorry, I'm fired up now. On the day before his wedding, I get a notice that we have 48 hours to remove all content from GoDaddy's servers because we violated the terms of service. I asked what the terms of service were. They said, we ain't telling. We just don't want your content on GoDaddy's servers. So if anyone's out there doing business with GoDaddy, understand what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with. And I'm going to tell you something, okay? We scrambled for that 48 hours. We got help from Canada Free Press to get our stuff off that server. NitroHost came in. God bless NitroHost, because at least they've got the guts, the testicular fortitude to come, you know, to say, we're going to host your content. But see, here's the thing. There's a war against the truth. There's a war against the truth, and it's at the very heart, the bowels of these globalist bastards out there who want to shut us up. And you know something, John? I'm going to tell you right here and right now, we won't be shut up. Not today, not ever. Google this. Google can do whatever they want. YouTube can do whatever they want. But I guarantee you, I'm going to be speaking. We're going to be speaking until our last dying breath. If the line in the sand is infanticide or sodomy or the rape of the Swedish women by these Muslim monsters, so be it. If that's the world that they want to live in, the socialist, Marxist, communist utopia, then God help them. But I'll tell you something. We will always speak the truth. Sorry.
Amen, brother. Woo, that was good. All right. That was that, Doug.
Hello.
That was awesome. Okay. I couldn't say it. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I'm gonna tell you something. You know, people have to understand the FBI. Not, the Muslim training camps exist. They existed here under George W. Bush. They existed here under Clinton. They flourish under Obama. There's paramilitary training going on, urban areas, suburban areas. You want to close your eyes to it, not you, John, but the people out there, go for it. But you know what? Islam is a cancer on Western society. It's a cult. It's not a religion. It's a cult. And Google and YouTube, go ahead, shut me up for speaking the truth.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, look. I mean, it's like, what is it in the world of lies? Speaking the truth is treason. Yeah. That is, we are all traitors. We are all traitors to the lying liars, and that's just the way it is. You will never be loved by liars if you speak the truth. You're just not going to be, and we're always going to be a minority. Mirrors are just painful things for people that are lying to themselves. And when we go out and we speak the truth, we're holding a mirror up before people and saying, look, this is what you are.
Yeah.
And people hate it. I don't understand it. You know, in fact, frankly, I don't think there are any of us that really even want to be the kinds of people that can understand it. I want to be someone who doesn't understand these things. I just don't know how else to say it. And I look at all these people that are funding all of this. Because remember, when we speak of all these evil things that are happening, look at the money. The money is fueling this. It, like, for instance, when you were talking about the flow of these Muslim migrants, one of the people that's funding this is George Soros.
All right.
As they are recovering, you know, they're going through the things that these migrants are casting aside or they're bringing with them. They're seeing all these printed pamphlets that are describing all the things that they can do and all the advantages that they have and all the things that they can claim once they come into Germany or into Europe, and they're printed up by George Soros. George Soros is helping fund. I mean, I remember sitting there when I first saw this wave of migrants coming in. I'm going, how do they know all of this? I mean, they knew exactly what to say, where to go, how to claim what they were wanting to claim. They knew everything. How did they know this? Who told them what to expect? And a lot of these guys, I mean, they have unrealistic expectations, and I think that this was done on purpose because they wanted to bring these Muslim migrants into Europe to fracture and break Europe apart. To just bring Europe to their knees.
Yeah. And what better way to do it than that way?
And John, I recently saw a story about the disappearance of 100 to a couple hundred Muslim immigrants who were in Germany, and apparently they were all male, and this was just very recently. Have you heard anything on this?
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, one of my favorite sites is Bare Naked Islam, and it's not about pornography, guys. So when he says Bare Naked Islam, I don't remember the woman's last name. Her name is Bonnie, is the one who does this, and I think she must have been, something must have happened to her because she went on a, she's on a tear. She's been on that. I mean, I when I was writing about Israel, this was, you know, before I started writing Omega Shock, I was writing about the Arab-Israeli conflict from an Israeli perspective. And I used her stuff. I referenced her for a lot of this stuff, but she actually had an article that she posted about this, and It's still a mystery, but my understanding is that they were probably these guys were probably brought out, you know, supported and brought to another place by the Muslim community, the Ummah, and I mean they're a fairly tight knit. I mean the Muslims, they don't assimilate, the majority of Muslims, they don't assimilate. They
That's
they
right.
have their own organization. They have their own system. But the thing that makes us a little concerned is that we know that there are terrorists in that group of Muslims that are flooding into Europe. We know this. I mean, we're recovering cell phones full of videos of people being tortured under ISIS control. I mean, these are ISIS soldiers that are moving and going into Europe, and they're casting aside their identities. They're assuming new identities. They have all this military training, and they're going to use it against us. I mean, these people are true believers, and they believe that violence is the answer to every question. So,
ISIS is the face of Islam. ISIS is the face of true Islam. That's what I believe, personally.
No, that's what every true fundamentalist Muslim believes. You're not alone in this belief.
Well, good.
Good. No, I mean, seriously, I mean, you look at the Hadith. I mean, basically, I've been citing two sources, the Quran and the Hadith. The Quran is they're both the sayings of Muhammad, but the Quran is sort of the principles of Islam. Hadith is the description of the life of Muhammad, okay? And what he did, Muslims, because he is considered under Islam to be the perfect man. That is how they describe him, as the perfect man. And so whatever Muhammad did, you must do. And the life of Muhammad was one of continual violence, rape, and murder. He was a genocidal maniac. He massacred everyone and anyone who did not agree with him. And that included other Muslims. All right? He was someone who was a psychopathic murderer. He made political deals for his own personal advantage, even though the deals were not necessarily quote-unquote religiously pure. The deal he made with Mecca was an interesting one. The point is this. When you read the Hadith, when you read the Quran, especially the ones, the verses of the Quran that are towards the end, which are the ones that all the fundamentalists truly believe in, the ones toward the beginning that teach peace and love, are abrogated by because the Quran is written in chronological order, not in terms of what Muhammad thought of recently. So he started preaching, you'll read the Medina verses, the Meccan verses toward the beginning. And it's all peace and love and understanding as he was trying to convert people to Islam, and of course because and they just weren't buying it. And so as he moves to Medina, we get the Medinan verses that become violent. And true Muslims, the fundamentalist Muslims, they read the verses towards the end of the Quran. They're the ones that trump the peace, love, and understanding towards the beginning. And if you are a good Muslim, you will read the ones toward the end. You will become violent like Muhammad was violent. You will become a rapist like Muhammad was a rapist. You will do all of those things that Muhammad did if you truly want to be a good Muslim. I prefer bad Muslims, if you ask me. So the point is this. All of these men that are flooding in, lots of them are good Muslims. Lots of them look at our daughters, and I don't have any daughters, but I look at some of the young girls around, and I just want to protect them. I'm like, look, do you understand what is coming? And when I saw some of the Indonesians sort of arrive in Taiwan, I was really shocked. We have a little problem with the Philippines.
By the way, John,
go ahead.
It's just, you know, yeah, young daughters indeed, but also young boys. All you have to do is, and by the way, a rule on our show, Google is not a verb, okay? Okay, Google is not a verb, everyone. But anyway, young boys, as you know, they dress them up as young girls, and they prepubescent young boys, dress them up as young girls, and go out there and they dance for these Arabs. And it's not, well, there it is. So yes, the threat is real. Go ahead, John. I didn't mean to take you off your train of thought.
Yeah, no, it's look, and think of when you speak of the young men. Yes, the physical and sexual violence that happens to our daughters is bad. But think also of the mental violence that happens to our sons and to their sons. They are taught violence. They are taught to use violence as the answer to the challenges of life. There isn't an issue of compromise. It's actually a reflection. I mean, look, Islam is a reflection of the very brutal life of the sands of the Arabian Peninsula. It's a reflection of what they lived through and the really harsh conditions that they, that their civilization was birthed, how it was birthed. So we're really just sort of codifying the nomadic life of the Arabs. But this mental violence that is happening to the young men, it's just as bad in many ways as the physical and sexual violence, because it is corrupting and consuming the process of thinking. It is destroying our ability to even have a civilization. People don't understand the word citizen, or is the ability, really the root for that word is the ability of people to live in cities. The ability for people to actually live close together in a geographical area. We are destroying that ability. Because if you deal in violence, if you think in terms of rage and rights and what's mine and what's yours, and if we destroy our ability to work together, our civilization falls apart. Mm. And that is what is happening. It is the destruction of our civilization, and is at the hands of Islam. And the reason why I talk about Matthew 24:7, when Jesus spoke of ethnic group that rises up against ethnic group. Now, we translate it as nation, but the Greek word is ethnos, when ethnos will rise against ethnos.
Yes.
And for the longest time, I never really understood this, before I went to Israel. I never really understood how it is that we had that. And we're sort of looking at this group and that group, and maybe this is the answer to prophecy, the those words of in Matthew 24:7, but it's actually this. We are watching the words of Jesus come true before our eyes, and when winter hits, I am afraid, not, I am concerned, I guess maybe that's a better word, I am concerned about the violence that will arise, because the answer that these young men will turn to when they're freezing, when things are cold, when they are threatened, when their existence is threatened, when the existence of their friends are threatened, is violence. That is the answer that they will turn to. And what is Merkel thinking? What is she thinking? Why did she do this? Did someone give her money? What happened? Look, Angela Merkel, the head of Germany, she's a physicist. She's a PhD in physics. These are people that should be able to think clearly. What is wrong with her?
She's going to, in my view, John, and I believe this wholeheartedly, she is fulfilling her I believe that she has been instructed by the real powers to go ahead and to destroy that which has been built, to destroy. Now, it almost sounds crazy, because wouldn't the European Union be, one of the constructed parts of the New World Order? Well, yes, but certainly to destroy the infrastructure as it stands right now to make it more New World Order compliant. That's what I believe that she was instructed. And I also believe, as crazy as it might sound, that Merkel has the DNA of Hitler, that she is the illegitimate offspring of Adolf Hitler. If you look at the the scientists involved around the Nazi thing, and I won't go down this road too far, but and people can search this. Notice I said search. We don't Google anything. Okay. But, you know, you can search and you can see where the Nazi scientists around Hitler had kind of kept his essence on tap there and follow the lineage. And I'd certainly believe that Merkel might be or could very well be an offspring, a legitimate offspring of Hitler. But anyway, I think she's... Honestly, I think she's acting according to the plan. Because you can't be that stupid. No one can be that. I mean, well, I suppose there, you know. But yeah.
No, it's amazing. You know, and to tell you the truth, I mean, I remember some of those horrible, jarring moments when I started to really wake up to some of the really dark evil that lies behind all of this. And I started to realize, wait a second. You know, some of these crazy things that people are saying, the kind of crazy things that you and I are saying, it's not beyond the pale. Yes, it sounds crazy. It sounds insane. But unfortunately, the truth is really that crazy. It really is.
Sure.
I don't understand it. I don't. I mean, I'm sitting here going like, the only way that I could really understand it is to really immerse myself into that morass of vile, disgusting evil. And yeah, I mean, pointing back to Hitler, the connection to Hitler, there's a lot of interesting connections to Hitler. Absolutely. Netanyahu, by the way, Netanyahu got into a little bit of hot water by making a connection to Hitler, because he actually described a fact where the representative of the current Palestinians at that time, and when Hitler was alive, when Hitler was contemplating what to do with the Jews, and so Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, goes to Hitler and begs Hitler to kill the Jews, to kill them, not to let them go and leave and go to Palestine or to wherever. He wanted the Jews dead.
Yep.
Now, how much of Husseini's interest in trying to convince Hitler, how much was Hitler swayed by Husseini himself? Hard to know. But Hitler has said that he has tremendous respect for Muhammad. He considers Muhammad to be the one prophet he does respect. So I don't know. But the thing is this, the truth is stranger than fiction, guys. So whatever Merkel is doing, you know what? If there's a Hitler connection, you know what? You know, who knows? Probably.
That answers a lot of questions. But yeah, you know, John, I mean, when we look at the wide... you know, the world through a wide-angle lens, we see a lot of crazy out there. And anyone who believes, as I like to say, in the coincidence theory of history and of current events, if you want to believe that blissfully, go ahead. You know, go ahead and think that just everything is happening by accident and that Washington, you know, that they're incompetent. And just go ahead and you know, play your video games and keep on believing that. But I like to look at things a little bit differently and more rationally and think, well, you know, these people aren't idiots. There is a nefarious agenda out there, and those who want to, you know, there are a lot of people out there, John, that can't handle the truth. And when confronted with the truth, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to. I had a family member, and I'm not going to get into this, but had cancer and was told, or, you know, she knew she was sick. There's something wrong. Doctor said, do you want to know what's wrong with you? And she said, no. She's dead 2 weeks later.
Wow.
But the reason I said that is because there are so many people who just don't want to know the truth. I mean, and I'm not faulting the family member, but the mentality that people can't handle the truth. And you know, this is where I value your writings, because, and ladies and gentlemen, John Little, OmegaShock.com, his writing is just fantastic. His speech is, speech presentation is tonight as a guest, fantastic. This is what it's all about, man. And thank God for people like John Little and John Little. Thank God, because we need to hear this. We need the truth. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you for that as well, because that is high praise for someone that has made a huge number of mistakes. And in fact, for all of us, we will all make mistakes, but there's one thing that we must always have, and this is the thing, when God speaks of the last days, when he spoke to us through Paul and through others, he speaks of the love of the truth. What we must have, we will, God says that he will send a strong delusion upon those who do not love the truth. You must have a love of the truth no matter what the personal cost. And that is something I dedicate my life to, is the truth. Now, part of the reason why I'm writing is because I get easily upset. And, of course, when I get upset, the thing I turn to is writing. It's always been my way of therapy. So think of what I'm doing on Omega Shock is I'm upset and I'm going to tell you about it. But it is the love of the truth. I love it more than anything except God himself, who is the definition of truth. I mean, so he's the author of truth. He's the definition of truth. And my dedication is to the truth no matter what the personal cost. No matter what the personal cost. If you can say that for yourself, then you will be fine. You may not survive. People who speak the truth oftentimes don't live to die of old age. It happens. But you will be welcomed by God into an eternity. And as I said last night to my students, and I say it all the time, life is short, eternity is long, choose well. And that is it, and this is for me. I choose the truth. How about you?
Amen, brother. Well said. Very well said. We know we've done it again. We've reached the end of the program already.
And I love when you come on, John. You have a way of going through the tough subjects that we always talk about, but you do it in such a relaxing yet very upbeat and insightful way. And it's just a pleasure for us to sit here and be able to have a round table, comfortable discussion about it, you know. Love your style, man, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. I'm telling my wife. She'll be glad to hear it.
All right, brother. Well, look, you have a great week. Well, the rest of your weekend, and thanks for getting up so early to be with us. John Little, Omega Shock, other side of the world, coming to us, and where it's early.
Yeah, well, have a good day.
It's a little bit later now, but God bless you.
No toilet paper in houses, man.
I don't think so.
All right, brother. Have a great night. All right.
Thanks, John. This is John Little from OmegaShock.com. Bookmark that site.
Yes.
There's awesome content on there constantly. And just a quick note before we end tonight's program. Sunday, we will be on with Josh Peck on his radio show. I believe it's pre-recorded, but it does air that Sunday.
We'll
post the information on our site, so keep updated. And Monday,
go ahead.
Eric is going to be with us full time.
Yes,
he'll be doing the controls of the visual and the YouTube and sound controls, which will clear us up for focusing totally on broadcasting.
We're going to come out swinging on Monday. We are, folks. We are just getting started. Okay, understand that we are just getting started, and. You know, it's something. Southern Poverty Law Center and Hate Crime Watch.
It's
now,
a badge of honor.
You know, we're now listed as hate mongers. I guess that'll.
We're on the hate watch list.
Yeah, we're on the hate watch list.
So we've done something right.
Yeah, but you know, we want to thank Global Star Radio Network. We want to thank JD and Eric. We want to thank each and every one of you for your support, standing by us. We will stand by you as the things get dicey. You can count on that. We got your back. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
And a safe weekend.
Yes. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.
The following hour...